I would ask you if you would turn in your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Matthew and the 14th chapter. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll be reading from the verse 13. As we take up the reading there at verse 13, the disciples have come to the Lord, and they have told the Lord of John the Baptist that he has been martyred for the faith. And that's where we take up the reading here at verse 13, and it's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Let's hear God's word this morning. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." They say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. They did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. They that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this morning that reading from his word. If you'll turn once again to that portion of Scripture that I read to you, please, from Matthew chapter 14. And we want to think of this miracle. It has many spiritual, heavenly lessons for you and I. Let us now just briefly wait upon the Lord. Let us pray as we've been singing for the work of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our understanding, and that we will see wonderful things out of the word this morning. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. We are very thankful, Lord, for this time of worship. Now, as we would seek to turn to thy word, we would pray for thy help. We ask that the Holy Ghost will come alongside our comforter, and that he will lead and guide us into all truth. We are praying that he will touch your eyes with eyesalve, and that we will behold wonderful things out of thy word. Lord, we have been reading about that occasion, whenever thou did break that bread to the multitudes beside the sea. But we are glad that we have bread that will indeed nourish our souls. And we thank thee once again for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Lord, we would esteem it more than our necessary food, and we rejoice that it is sweeter than honey to our taste. It is better than thousands of gold and silver. Oh, be pleased to come nigh, Lord, to speak to us by the word of truth. May it be that our hearts today, that they shall be revived, that we will be quickened, that we will be drawn to run after thee. O Lord, kiss us with the words of thy mouth, for thy word is better than wine. We ask all these things, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. It was during the Lord's earthly ministry that he revealed to his disciples his great patience when it came to teaching them heavenly and spiritual truth. I believe that you and I would learn from that the disciples were slow hearers. Oft times they were dull of understanding, what the Lord Jesus had to say to them. They did not let his truth oftentimes sink down into their hearts. That's why the Lord Jesus had to reinforce his teaching time and time again to them. You will see that with this miracle, the feeding of many thousands of people. We've read this miracle this morning, that of the feeding of 5,000 men, besides women and children. And it was only a short time later that the Lord Jesus performed a similar miracle, but the numbers were slightly different. On that occasion, he fed 4,000 men, women and children. You may ask, why would the Lord repeat his miracle in quick succession? Well, it was simply because his disciples, the first time, they had not grasped the great truths that the Lord was seeking to say to them. And the Lord came again, and he touched their eyes so that they might see clearly. This miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 men, the Lord has emphasized it for us in the gospel narrative. There are very few of the miracles that are mentioned by all the four gospel writers, but here is one. And the Lord has spoken on four occasions that we might perceive these great heavenly spiritual truths that he would say to us. Do you remember what Job said in the chapter 33? And in that verse 14, he said, "The Lord speaketh once, yea, twice, and man perceiveth it not." That's why, beloved, I am grateful this morning that what the Lord would have to say to you and I from this miracle, he has emphasized it on four occasions. May it be that the Holy Ghost will come this morning, and the Holy Spirit will reveal these great truths concerning Christ even to our hearts. The first thing that I believe the Spirit of the Lord would draw to our attention this morning is this: the compassion of Christ. If you look there at verse 14, you'll notice the compassion of Christ. The Lord Jesus has withdrawn into a private, a solitary place, having heard of the death of his forerunner, John the Baptist. And although he is seeking to come aside with his disciples for a little while, the multitudes, the crowds from all the cities, they still follow the Lord. And you'll notice in verse 14 that the Lord Jesus went forth and he's looking upon these great crowds of people. Do you see how that his heart was moved with regard to their condition? For it says, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion toward them. Oh, it would be my desire for my life and for your life, every child of God, that we would have the heart of Christ, that we would have a compassion toward the multitudes that are around us, the poor and the needy, and those who are without Christ and without hope in this world. The Lord was moved not only by their physical ailments. And you'll notice in verse 14, there were those who came to the Lord on this occasion, and they were sick, they were diseased. Many had infirmities. The Lord was compassionate in that he healed them. But I believe the Lord Jesus, he also was compassionate and full of pity and mercy, because he also perceived their spiritual plight. Matthew, in a previous chapter, one that I am sure that you are familiar with, the chapter 9 and the last few verses of that chapter. If you turn back in your Bible to Matthew chapter 9, and if you look there at verse 36, it says, When he, that is, the Lord, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. We need Christ's heart, compassion, pity, sympathy. We need to show mercy toward those that are around us, because their spiritual plight, they do not know the Good Shepherd. They need to return to the bishop of their souls. And how precarious is their condition out of Christ. For when you think of sheep without a shepherd, what danger, what peril they are certainly in. The Lord Jesus would also remind us that this people that he saw on that occasion in Matthew 9, they were fainting. Literally, it means they were pressed down with a tremendous weight and a tremendous burden. When you think of those around us and the fields that are white unto harvest, beloved, this people, they are pressed down with the great burden of sin. Yet we rejoice the burdens, they are lifted at Calvary. For the Lord laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. May it be that as we look upon the fields that are white, may it be that we shall have a compassion for those who are around and about us. There's another occasion where we see the compassion of Christ. It's again stated here by Matthew Levi, and it's in the chapter 20. The Lord Jesus now is nearing the end of his earthly ministry, and he's passing through Jericho, the city of the palm trees. And in the verse 34, the Lord Jesus had compassion upon two blind men. One is named, his name was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus that day, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing that way, he cried out, "Thy Son of David, have mercy upon me." And the Lord's heart was moved with compassion toward this man. The Bible narrative tells us the Lord Jesus stood still. Isn't that a wonder that the very God of heaven, that he is the one who stands still when he hears that cry from the heart of the sinner for mercy and for the forgiveness of sin? And so what an encouragement it is to each one in this house this morning to know that there is one who can be merciful to the sinner, one who will abundantly pardon. So this is what we need in our ministry, in our service for the Lord this year. We need the compassion of Christ. There are so many others who have gone before us, brethren and sisters, the great heroes of faith. When we think of ministers of the gospel in the past, missionaries of the cross, and those whose lives were greatly used by the Lord, they were each and every one of them brethren and sisters who had the compassion of Christ in their lives and in their service for the Lord Jesus. William Burns, a Scotsman who ministered for the Lord in the 19th century, one day he was with his mother in the city of Glasgow. He was but 16. He became separated from his mother, and after searching for some time, she found her son down an alleyway, and he was weeping. And she said, "What aileth thee, lad? Are you ill?" What was his response to his mother? He said, "It is the tramp tramp of Christless feet on the road to hell, and it breaks my heart." William Burns was greatly used of the Lord. In later service, especially in the land of China with Hudson Taylor, became a missionary of the cross. But even from that early age, you can see here is a lad, and he had the compassion of Christ. Here is one who wept over the erring ones, and he sought to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. What we say of William Burns, you know, his contemporary, and that was Robert Murray McShane, who ministered for the Lord in the city of Dundee, in St. Peter's. He was but 29 and his work was done for the Lord. But a short time after his death, a dear brother by the name of John Stone went to St. Peter's in Dundee. And an elder, an aged man, showed him around St. Peter's Church. He brought him to the vestry, and he brought him to the pulpit. And on both of those occasions, he said to John Stone, "I want you to put your hands on the desk. I want you to bow your head. I want you to weep. For that's the way Master McShane used to do it." He was emphasizing the pastor, the compassion of the pastor, the minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren and sisters, I would say, this morning in our service and throughout this year, this is certainly what we need, the heart of Christ. Compassion for precious souls. Remember the promise of the Lord is this. In Psalm 126, verse 5, "He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy." We would have to ask the Lord for forgiveness, would we not? For coldness of heart, hardness of heart, in our previous service for the Lord, if we have not had that burden of heart and that weeping over souls. It was Gypsy Smith who cried out to the Lord, "Oh, forgive me for such a cold, hard heart." And you and I can have a compassion for precious souls. And that can be evident, that can be demonstrated. Where there is a compassion for souls, there will be missionary enterprise for the Lord Jesus Christ. Great burden in the church for missionary work. And we will be supportive of it. For we will see the great need to see the nations reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust that the Lord will come and that he will give to us such a compassion for souls. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he had a great compassion for souls. You'll read there in 2 Chronicles 17, verse 8, that he commissioned the Levites to go out through Judah to teach his people the word of God. So you can see, and I can see in the heart of this king, he had a burden for souls. He had the heart of Christ. He looked upon the multitudes throughout his nation, and he was moved with compassion toward them. But not only do we see here the compassion of Christ, but secondly, we also have the challenge of Christ. In the verse 16, this is what he said to his disciples. "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." The Lord here is instructing his people, his disciples, to feed this great multitude. And the multitude, it may have been 15,000 people, besides the men, with the women and the children. These people were hungry. Early that morning, they had left their homes in haste. For remember, they had heard the Lord Jesus is departing. He's going forth into a private place. They had not time to prepare lunch. And they had been with the Lord that day until the evening. And they esteemed the words of his mouth more than their necessary food. But now the Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples, you cannot send the multitudes away to their homes without food, for the lonely faint by the way. Give ye them to eat. Now that was a tremendous task for these few disciples. A great multitude that needed to be fed. And you'll see that the Lord said these things that he might prove his disciples. He was testing their faith. The Lord knew what he would do. But he wanted his disciples to cast their care upon him and to look to the Lord to help them to feed this great multitude of people. Similarly, the Lord has given to you and I a great commission. There is a multitude of people that we need compassion toward. But the challenge today is still the same. We are to feed the multitudes, but not simply in a physical sense, but with regard to the word of life, with the gospel, with this bread sent down from heaven, the bread which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the true bread sent down from heaven. That's the undertaking. And for you folk in Coleraine and this large town, there are multitudes that are spiritually hungry and they need the bread of life. And the Lord would challenge you and he would say, give ye them to eat. How is one going to react to that challenge? What's your response going to be, beloved? What will you say this morning? As you look at this incident, you will see two disciples in particular. They are brought to the fore, and their response to this challenge. It is John who speaks of them in John's Gospel, chapter 6. He makes mention of Philip. And Philip's response was this. He looked at the treasurer's bag. John chapter 6 verse 6. And he said, 200 pennies are not sufficient to feed them. He must have went to Judas Iscariot, who had the treasurer's bag, and asked, how much is there in the bag? 200 pennies. And he comes back and he says, well, Lord, if we are to buy bread, 200 pennies will not feed them all. So you see, his eye was on the treasury and on the bag. Whereas when we think of Andrew, John records in this same chapter 6 of his gospel that he noticed that there was a lad and he had his lunch. 3 small barley loaves and 2 fishes. But it's only 7 items. And there's thousands of people. And he's saying to the Lord, these things, they are not sufficient. But the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples that day, though their resources were limited, if their resources were dedicated to the Lord, the multitudes could be fed. And the multitudes could be satisfied. This is what the Lord is seeking to say to you this morning and to me. Now the Lord chooses the weak. They despise the foolish things. Little things. And the Lord would have we his people to see that our sufficiency is of God. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. You may say, but we are little. There's only a few of us in a large time. But the Lord is saying, bring what you have to me and dedicate it to me. Brethren and sisters, as Andrew may have despised those 7 small items of food, the Lord is reminding you and I, do not despise the day of small things. Remember his word to Zerubbabel? when the remnant returned to the land of Israel, and there was to be the rebuilding of the temple, he reminded Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, do not despise the day of small things. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Is that not an encouragement? You may say, I am weak. But it is the weak that the Lord will use. He wants you and I to see our sufficiency is of God. You know, when I think of Moses and his commission to go to Pharaoh, he excused himself and he said, Lord, I cannot speak. But the Lord said, go, I will be with your mouth. I will teach you what to say. When you think of the prophet Jeremiah, he said, I am but a child. Jeremiah 1:5. But the Lord commissioned and sent him. And so the Lord is saying to us, you can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. The Holy Spirit is given to those who ask. And so the task, it is challenging what the Lord is asking us to do, to see his kingdom come to this place and to see others brought to Christ. But the Lord is challenging you and I to bring what we have and to give it to the Lord and to keep our eye upon him so that we will know his sufficiency and his power. D.L. Moody, you know of how the Lord greatly used him in the city of Chicago in the United States of America. But from a young age as a convert to Christ, he had a great burden for souls. Where did he begin? With the children in Chicago. He went into an area of the city, and it was regarded as the little hell because of its wickedness and because of its exceeding sin. Yet he got the boys and girls in. And as others listened to D.L. Moody, one dear brother in particular, he marked, this man has not tremendous education. His grammar is not good. He's not able to even read some of the words to the children in the book. But one thing he knew was this. Here is a man who had a love for the Lord and had a burden for the souls of boys and girls. And that's why the Lord used D.L. Moody. For he brought all to Christ. He presented himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, beloved, in this meeting today, there is this challenge to you and I to give to them to eat. We must hold forth the word of life. By all means, hold forth the gospel message in Coleraine, Bushmills, and the surrounding countryside. Use all means to sign forth this glorious message of the gospel. Sunday school teacher, the Lord is challenging you to give to the children the bread of life, to present Christ to them. And I trust that you may be as Edward Kimball, who led others to Christ. He led D.L. Moody to Christ. Mother, the challenge is to you, give ye them to eat your children. Train them up in the way to go, so that when they are old, they shall not depart from the word of God. I trust that the Lord will make you a Susanna Wesley. She had many children, but she spent time every week with every child to instruct them in the things of the Lord. There's something else here. We've noticed already the compassion of Christ, the challenge of Christ, but I would like to elaborate a little more on the consecration to Christ. Verse 18. What was found, the five loaves and the two fishes? The Lord said, bring them hither to me. These seven items, where are they found? they're found in the hands of the Lord. And that is what true consecration is. It's placing our lives in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Brother, sister in the Lord, should the Lord not have your life? At the very outset of this new year, 2012, He should, because you're not your own. You're bought with a price. We are to glorify the Lord in our body and in our soul. And there needs to be this presentation today. You and I need to come. And there needs to be this offering made unto the Lord. The offering of our lives. For this is acceptable service to the Lord. One of the mighty men of Jehoshaphat, his name was Amaziah. And I read of him recently in my daily readings. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17 verse 16. It says there of Amaziah, he willingly offered himself to the Lord his God. That's the challenge for you and I this morning. Do we have a willing heart? Do we have a ready mind? And like Amaziah, are we willing to offer ourselves to the Lord our God? It's our reasonable service. The Lord is beseeching us to do so by the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ, presenting our bodies to Him. And so I would say, Lord, keep me and this people under the shadow of your cross. Bring its scenes before us. You know the reason why we need to be at the cross? Because the love of Christ will constrain us to consecrate our lives every day to the service of our Redeemer. Count Zinzendorf, he was the leader of the Moravian Church. And the Moravian Church was greatly used of God in southern France, Switzerland, and in Italy. But on one occasion, he was traveling, Count Zinzendorf, from Germany to France and Paris. And at the commencement of his journey in Germany, he came to Dusseldorf. And he went into an art gallery. And it was there he viewed a painting of Steinberg. It depicted the sufferings of Christ on the cross. And as he gazed at that painting, the words beneath the painting were these: all this I did for thee, what hast thou done for me? He remembered the gospel narrative. He remembered the lamb taken to the place of slaughter, suffering the just for the unjust, and his cold heart, that love for Christ was rekindled. And that very hour, he rededicated his life to the service of Christ. And that's what the Lord would desire of you, dear sister in Christ, dear brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants you to come and to present your life and to place it into His hands. He wants you and I to surrender all to Him. What will the Lord do with our lives? It's what He did here with the bread. For you'll notice that He blessed it, and then He broke it. And that's what needs to happen in our lives this year. We need the Lord's blessing. Like Jabez, bless us indeed. God's blessing is rich. It addeth no sorrow with it. And God's blessing will lead to fruitfulness. You remember Genesis 1:28, when the Lord blessed man, he was fruitful. He multiplied. He had dominion. And when God's blessing smiles upon his people, their lives are fruitful to the glory of God. And that's what we want this year. Our lives to glorify him by bringing forth much fruit to his praise. But as well, the Lord wants to break us. Remember, he's the potter. We're the clay. The Lord is saying there needs to be a presentation. You need to bring your life. You need to put it on the potter's table. And you need to say, Lord, have your own way in my life today. Lord, will you mold and make me as it seemeth good in your sight? Make me anew. And before the Lord makes us anew, he needs to break us. We need to be pliable. We need to be submissive to his will. And that happened in the life of the Welsh revivalist, Evan Roberts. He was the man that the Lord used in the Welsh revival of 1904-1905. You know, he was studying in Newcastle Emlyn, and he was seeking to get some exams for entrance into the theological hall at Treharris. And it was while he was there, he attended some meetings. And they were out in a countryside in a chapel. I've been to the place where Evan Roberts was broken by the Lord. For it was there in that meeting, Seth Joshua from the Forward Movement, he was crying to God, bend me, bend me. And Evan Roberts realized, Lord, I need to be broken. And he began to cry from his heart, bend me. And the Lord took that instrument. And the Lord used that instrument mightily on wheels and throughout England. It was estimated 100,000 souls came to Christ in 1904-1905. We need that experience, do we not? If we have not known it, we need to be new men. Like Jacob, Israel, a prince, one who has power with God and with men. So I want you to think upon these things this morning. A need to consecrate your life to him afresh, and a need to consecrate our living, our substance, to the service of our Lord as well. Didn't want to say too much upon this. When you get home, look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It's the building of the temple by Solomon. David was not able to build it because he was a man of war. But he made preparation. And if you look at that portion, you'll notice a number of things. In the verse 2, it says, he gave with all of his might to the work of God, the building of the temple. What an example that man after God's own heart is. That he did it with all of his might. The challenge is, are we given to the best of our ability to God's work, to the service of our King? Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. David as well, his affection was toward the house of God. 1 Chronicles 29:3. It speaks there of his affection, his love for God's house, the place where his name was. And that's what motivates our service, isn't it? It is that we are able to say, how amiable are thy tabernacles, how lovely are thy dwelling places. We love that place wherein thine honor dwells. David also in that portion, verse 14 and 16, he indicates that he only gave to the Lord what the Lord first of all gave to him. What he had, all of his material substance, the Lord gave it to David. And he's only given back to the Lord what the Lord first of all gave to him. Remember that in your giving. It's not you that has gotten this wealth. If you are wealthy and you prospered material, God has blessed you. And you need to give to him bountifully what he has given to you. My time is gone, but very quickly and very briefly, there's a fourth thing here. The communication of Christ by his disciples. You'll notice what happened here on this occasion. There is a communication. The disciples here receive the bread and the fish from the Savior's hand, and it is that portion that they give to the multitudes who were seated upon the grass here on this mountain. And the practical lesson is this: the challenge that the Lord has given to you and I to feed the multitudes, He is saying we are able to do it, not only when our lives are dedicated to Christ, but we will receive the portion that the people need from His hand. That's why it is essential to wait at the Lord's feet, to get His word, and have that word touch and burn within your own heart, your own soul. Because it's only that word that the Lord will give to you when you sit at His feet. It will suffice. It will satisfy those that you are seeking to reach. One last thing you'll see here. The 12 baskets full. What does it tell us? It teaches as you look after His interests, He will look after yours. Because the 12 baskets, who were they for? His disciples. Those who had fed others, the Lord is saying, you have seen to my interests, I will take care of you. And the Lord is telling us, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's no man's debtor. You have known it. And may that continue to be your confidence. So it's a wonderful miracle. It has many lessons. And I've only highlighted four. But the Lord is saying, let these sayings sink down into your heart. Receive them. There needs to be a greater compassion. We need His heart. We need this pity. We need to reach out to souls and to see the challenge, to reach out with the bread of heaven, with Christ, to see them one. But we need to dedicate, devoting, surrendering all to Him. And we need that word from the Lord, that portion, for that alone will satisfy their need. May the Lord richly bless His word this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's please just turn to a hymn, 488. We're going to sing just two verses, 488. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. Make this the prayer of your heart, and we'll sing just verses 1 and 2. 1 and 2, please.